Amen. Thank you, Sister Clark. Well, as our pastor is preaching off this morning, he has asked a very good friend of his to fill in the pulpit this morning. I believe he's from northern West Virginia.
Amen.
And we have with us this morning Pastor Daniel Caldwell. And I'm going to ask Brother Caldwell if he'll come bring the message this morning.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Appreciate it very much. Well, it is an honor to be here today. Thank you all so much for your love for God, and had the opportunity on Friday to speak at the chapel, and it was a blessing to for the college, and it's a blessing to see what you guys are producing. What a blessing. Young people that love God, and our generation needs it, and I'm looking around at the faithfulness here, and I was able to attend Christian school here in ninth grade. And it's a blessing to still see a few people that said they've been here for a long time. And Dr. Pitts is still here, and Dr. Carter's still preaching the same thing. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing to see that you guys are not changing, and that's wonderful. We live in a world of change, don't we? We live in a society that believes that because it's 2022 that God all of a sudden changed. And I'm sure glad that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He never changes. And I do want to thank everybody for your hospitality. I've eaten more in the last week, or actually since Thursday. Brother Correa last night tempted me. And we went to Olive Garden, and I ate. And he said, there's these donut things that they make, and you dip them in chocolate and eat them. And I said, no, brother, that's okay. I'm good. And he just kept tempting and tempting and tempting. And dipping it and looking at me saying, this is so good, and eating it. And so I yielded to temptation last night, so pray for me because I ate one of those donuts. But it's Brother Correa's fault. No, I'm just teasing. Listen, if you yield to temptation, it's your fault, not the temptation anyway. But it's a blessing to be here. I do want to thank Pastor Parsons for allowing me to come. And he is a dear friend of mine. I sure love him. And I got to know him when he was in Salisbury, Maryland, and we both went to the same camp and brought our young people to the same camp. And so it's a blessing to see what God's doing here and in this place. And I'm honored to stand here today where some wonderful people that are used by God have preached. But we're going to get right into the message this morning, Psalm 91 in your Bibles, if you would turn there, please. And what wonderful singing. And it's a joy to hear people singing for the Lord. I love good singing. It sets the atmosphere for preaching, doesn't it? And a good thing that we heard about this blessed King James Bible. Sure love it. And I'm glad y'all still use it. Amen. Glad that y'all still using the only Bible that there is. And sure enjoy it. And glad that you have it. If you would, if you're physically able to, stand with me out of respect for the Word of God. Psalm 91. We're going to read two verses. And I'm not going to assume everybody here knows these two verses, but for the vast majority, you probably will. And I'm going to read these two verses to you. I'll give you the title of the message, and then I'll set the stage for the message. And I hope you'll pay attention on purpose. When you come to church, I hope you don't come to church just to sit in a pew. I hope you come to church expecting something from God. When you come to church, the only way that you're going to get something is if you expect something. If you come with the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, you're hindering the Holy Spirit from working in your heart. And so just do me a favor. Put away all the distractions. Put away all the things that are on your mind that Satan's trying to bring in your mind. And just open your heart and mind to the Lord this morning and let him do what he does, okay? Psalm 91, starting in verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I'm going to preach a message to you out of Psalm 91 and verse 1 this morning. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So the title of the message for you today is, are you dwelling in that secret place? Are you dwelling in that secret place? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and preach the Word of God. Lord, I'm humbled to be in this wonderful place that you've used over many, 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 many years. Lord, I pray that you continue to keep your hand of blessing upon Landmark Baptist Church and the ministries of this place. Lord, I want to thank you for their faithfulness. But Lord, the reason they can remain faithful is because you are faithful. And Lord, that they're following after you and they're building their church upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that never changes. Lord, I pray that you'll be with Pastor Parsons as well, and he's away today. I pray that you'll use him. But Lord, I pray that you'll bind Satan and the devils of hell from this place today. I claim your blood that they not be allowed here. Lord, that you'll work in hearts. And Holy Spirit of God, all is vain unless your presence is with us. We desperately need you today. And Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of being here and the opportunity to open your word and the privilege of being a pastor of a church. Lord, no higher calling in my mind than to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I sure love you. Thank you for it. If there's anyone here that's lost, I pray they'll trust you today. We'll give you the glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Before I get into the message, I do want to give you a little bit of my background. I grew up in a Christian home, and my granddad was saved in the 60s in Cleveland, Ohio. I went to Cleveland Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Roy Thompson. And an evangelist by the name of Larry Clayton knocked on my granddad's door in the 60s and led he and my grandmother to Christ. And they got all involved in church, and God called my granddad to preach. And in fact, my granddad has preached in this building before. Dr. Carter had him preach here, and what a blessing that is. And, you know, God's given me a godly heritage, and I thank God for that and don't want to ever take that for granted. And then my uncle is a pastor now in Winchester, Virginia. My cousin Jason is actually preaching at my church today. And so God's brought up some preachers in our family, and so what a blessing that is. And then as I grew up, you know, God, of course, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. God began to deal with my heart about preaching. And that was after I attended school here in ninth grade. I didn't feel the call of God by then. I was still mischievous and doing all kinds of things, wondering what I, in fact, had to meet Dr. Pitts in his office several times and different things like that. And I know out of the kids that were here, he probably didn't think I would be the preacher. And but I'll tell you what, God can use anybody who's willing to be used. And so just yield yourself to him. But after going, I began to work at Mount Salem Revival Grounds in West Union, West Virginia. My dad built a lot of the buildings there, and we began to become good friends with the Taylors. He introduced my wife and I, and actually the way that we met was he had preached at her father's church. My father-in-law is a pastor in Pennsylvania, and he started a church about 38 years ago, been preaching there ever since. And Dr. Taylor went there and met them, and then he knew me, and he kind of played matchmaker and didn't tell us about it. But anyway, we came to a conference, and he introduced us. He stood me on the bottom steps of the dining hall, stood my wife there, and she wasn't my wife at the time, but he said, "Dan, this is Lori. Lori, this is Dan," and everybody turned around and walked away. And so here we are standing there just looking at each other, and we ended up talking, and apparently God had given him some insight, because my wife and I just celebrated 20 years of marriage in September, and what a blessing that is. You know, it's sad that 20 years is a long time for people in marriages today, isn't it? It's sad that when you hear somebody who's married 20 years, people in the world think, wow, that's a long time. But it's a blessing to see folks like Dr. Carter, and my granddad and my grandmother were married for 60 years, and then he went home to be with the Lord in 2015. He developed Alzheimer's. He pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in Dundalk, Maryland for right at 30 years, and he developed Alzheimer's, and he had to resign as pastor, and over those next years, we watched him digress with his health. But in 2015, when my granddad went home to be with the Lord, I was asked to be part of his funeral service, and I counted that an honor, and I began to ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to speak about at my granddad's funeral? Because we had the opportunity to have Dr. Larry Clayton. He spoke that day because he led my granddad to Christ, and then my Uncle Howard spoke, and then my cousin Jason spoke, and then I spoke. And you say, wow, that's a lot of preaching at a funeral, but you know what? That's what my granddad wanted. Amen. Because he understood what was important in life. And I began to go through some things, and when I was asked to do that, Dr. Carter, I began to look through a Bible that he had given me. It was one of his old preaching Bibles, and his life verse was Psalm 91, 1 and 2. And as I began to look at these verses and study for that in 2015, God gave me a truth that I'm going to try to share with you today that God changed my life with. And listen, if you get into the Word of God and you begin to study the Word of God, God will change your life. But this passage that I was going through, I began to ask myself, why was this my granddad's life verse? I began to look at some of the attributes that I had seen in my granddad as I had watched him and things like that. And as I began to study the Bible, I began to realize that the attributes that my granddad had and had developed were the same attributes that his Savior had. And you say, what do you mean? Is that means that he got close to the Lord? And as I looked at that, it said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, when you're in the shadow of somebody else, that means they don't notice you. They notice the one who's casting the shadow. And if you're living the Christian life the way you're supposed to be living it, it's not about you. It's about the one in which you serve. And as I was going through this passage of Scripture, I began to study and began to look all around, and my heart was heavy over the fact of the way that our churches are going today. And I began to look at how most folks are changing, and they believe that you can lower your standards, you can lower all of these things. And listen, we ought not to lower anything. Satan's turned up the heat, hasn't he? And we ought not to push the brakes. We ought to hit the gas pedal and keep on going for the Lord. When you come to a church like this, you ought to thank the Lord for what you have. You ought to thank God. You college students ought to thank God for a college that's still preaching right and doing right and has godly songs and godly standards and a place that you can learn to stand behind this book. And I'll tell you this, it's a blessing and an honor to be standing here preaching in the same pulpit as some of my heroes. And, you know, I don't know Dr. Carter as well as most of you. I haven't had a lot of opportunity to speak to him throughout the years, but I have read books that he's written and listen to messages. And, you know, they've influenced my life, and I thank God for that. But as I was wondering what to preach in this passage, in this service today, when Pastor Parsons asked me to preach, I began to get nervous, first of all, because I understood Dr. Carter was going to be here. And I thought, man, what can I say that you guys haven't heard? And listen, it's not about preaching something new that you haven't heard, because there's nothing new under the sun. And if you go through Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, what you're going to find out is it's all about God. Amen. It's all about you knowing him. You can try to dice it any way you want to, but no matter where you slice it, it's going to bleed with the blood of Jesus, isn't it? And that's what it's all about. You know, and it was it's a blessing that you guys are still out soul winning. You're still doing that. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to jump into this thought this morning. As I got to it, it said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so I began to look at that word dwelleth, and you know what that means? It means to live in a specific location. It means to live there, where you dwell, where your house is. That's what the word dwelleth means. And it says, in the secret place. So I began to ask the Lord, well, Lord, if I'm supposed to live there, if I'm supposed to dwell in this place, where is it? Where is this secret place that I'm supposed to live? Because, God, you're calling it a secret place, but I really want to know where this place is. And as I began to search the scriptures, God took me to Exodus 33, where Moses was in a time of discouragement. And in verse 21 area, he says, Lord, I need to see your glory. And he said, I want to see you, Lord. He said, but no man can see my face and live. And he tells him, he said, but I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by. And he said, I'll remove my hands and my face you won't be able to see, but you'll be able to see my back parts. And he said this, there is a place by me and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And as I began to look at that place and I said, okay, well, there's a place by God that I'm supposed to stand. I'm supposed to stand upon the rock. I said, Lord, where's that? And I went to Matthew and he was talking to Peter and he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And I want you to know he wasn't telling Peter that I'm going to build my church on you. He said, you're going to build your church on me. I'm going to be the foundation of the church. And as I looked at that and said, well, where's this place by Jesus that I'm supposed to stand? Where's this place by him that I'm supposed to stand upon? And I began to look at it, and he took my mind and my heart to John chapter number 13. And I want you to turn there, if you would, please. I want you to see what the Bible has to say about it in the Gospel of John chapter number 13. So as I was searching this out and following God's direction in my life, this was something that the Lord was helping me with. And it actually has helped me now that as I go to the Word of God, I look at it differently, because I don't just look at the Bible as words on a page, and I don't just look at the Bible as something to take up my time. We're going to see what I believe the Bible is in our lives today, and I think it's so important for you to see it. But here I was asking, Lord, where's this place I'm supposed to live in? Where's this place I'm supposed to dwell? Where am I supposed to have the specific location? If it's a secret place, I want to know where it is so I can live there. And in John chapter number 13 in verse 21, it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you
shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now, isn't that funny that the disciples that have seen Jesus, he said, one of you is going to betray me, and they didn't believe what he said. They were doubting it, right? And look, verse 23, there were leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Now I want to stop here for a moment, and I want to take you to this place in Scripture where they're all sitting here in this upper room around the table. Jesus is telling them, hey, one of you are going to betray me. And they all begin to look at each other in confusion and say, well, I wonder who he's talking about. And Peter is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You say, why? Because he was bold, wasn't he? Now, Peter was one that didn't engage his brain a lot of times before he did things. He just acted first, and he believed, like a lot of you do, ask forgiveness rather than permission, right? But Peter was one of those ones, though. He was bold, wasn't he? Peter was a bold Christian. By the way, before you criticize him, he was the only one got out of the boat in the storm, wasn't he? He was the only one that had enough faith to step out into the storm and walk on the water. But here in this passage, I was intrigued by this because here Jesus is telling them that one of them is going to betray him. And I believe in every word that is in this book is there on purpose. I don't believe it was put there by accident. I don't believe that they were just adding more words to take up more space. But here's what it says. I want you to look at something here in verse 23. It said, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And then look at verse 25. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Now on this journey that I was going on in my heart and in my mind, wondering where this secret place was, and please don't get bored because I'm leading up to something that I believe will help you and change your life if you'll allow it to. But I was going on this journey, Lord, where's this secret place that I'm supposed to dwell, that I'm supposed to live in? Because you're saying that if I'll live in this place, people won't notice me, they'll notice you. I'll be in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm not supposed to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. I have to understand that I'm nothing without God and that you are everything. So where is this? How am I supposed to live in this place if I don't know where it is? And as he brought me to this passage of Scripture, I began to look at where all of these disciples were. And guess what? They were all in the presence of Jesus, weren't they? But there was something different about one of them. Here they are in this room. They're all in the presence of where Jesus was. But as I was asking this question, say, why did Peter stop in this room and lean over to John and say, John, you ask Jesus who he's talking about? Because I know Peter had a relationship. He was one of the main disciples. Why didn't he, Brother Daniel, just look over at Jesus and say, Jesus, who are you talking about? But here he leans over to John and he says, John, you ask Jesus who he's talking about. And so I asked the Lord, I said, God, why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just speak up and say, Jesus, who is it? Why did he ask John? And God said, well, look where John is. And as I began to look, it said this, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Verse 25, he then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Now here John is, he's got his head laying on Jesus' chest. And if he was in a church like most of our churches, he would have had the Pharisee Christians looking at him saying, oh, there's teacher's pet. There's the one that, oh man, he's just trying to be more prideful. He just wants to be right up there, so close to Jesus, where Jesus is going to just show him favor rather than nothing. In fact, you know, it says the disciple whom Jesus loved. Listen, Jesus loved all of his disciples, didn't he? And he loves all of us. But God placed this here for a reason. It said that disciple whom Jesus loved, and here John is, he's got his head laying on Jesus' breast. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this? And here's the thought that he gave me. He said, Dan, if you really want to live in the secret place, you got to look where John is. And as I looked and I began to see where John was, I see John was not content just being in a room where Jesus was. John wasn't content just being a pew sitter, as you would say. John wasn't content just being in the presence of where Jesus was. John wasn't content until he was so close to Jesus that he heard the very heartbeat of God. And I want you to think about that in your Christian life. Are you so determined to be so close to Jesus that you can hear his heartbeat? See, John was that disciple who wasn't just one that wanted to come to church and sit in a pew. John was one of those people that said, God, I'm not content until I can feel your breath.
Amen.
Till I can hear you breathing. Till I can feel your heartbeat in my ear.
Amen.
And I want you to understand that God has given us a book that is his heartbeat for you and I. As you begin to go to the pages of this book, as you heard them sing about this blessed old book that's never steered us wrong, I want you to know that God's heartbeat is in the pages of this blessed old King James Bible that we have. But oftentimes what we want to be is we want to be like one of the disciples that sit in that room and say, hey, you tell me what Jesus is trying to say. You tell me what you ask Jesus what he's trying to teach me through all of this, rather than being so close to him that you can just sense his breath, that you can just hear his heartbeat. And as I thought about that, I thought, whoa, if I'm going to dwell in the secret place, Brother Chamberlain, I have to be in so close to my Savior that I can hear his very heartbeat. And as I did that, I began to study even further about heartbeats, and I began to read some articles about some tests that they were doing, and I don't know if they ever finalized these tests. I haven't been able to find any more information about it, but there was a test that they were doing where they would, people that had irregular heartbeats, they would play the sound of a normal heartbeat in their ear, and their heart would begin to kind of beat in rhythm with what it was hearing. And I thought, wait a second. Here John is. He's got his head laying on Jesus' chest. God labels him as that disciple whom he loved. And I want you to see what God allowed John to do. Look at John chapter number 19. In John chapter number 19, verse 26 and 27, this is when our Savior's hanging on the cross. And it's right before he says, I thirst, and they give him the vinegar and all this stuff. And look what he says here in verse 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by him who he loved. Now who's he talking about? John. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her, unto his own home. Dr. Carter, I asked myself, why was John privileged to take care of Jesus' mother? Why was John the only disciple that was given a vision of heaven that he was able to write about in the book of Revelation? It's because I don't believe that John just wanted to hear the heartbeat of his Savior. He wanted to develop the heartbeat of his Savior. And listen, if you're going to live in the secret place, if you're going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you begin to not only listen to the heartbeat of God when you go to the pages of this book, and by the way, you ought to go to it listening to hear the very heartbeat of God. And if you do that, guess what you're going to find? That he came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're going to develop the heartbeat of God, you're going to have to get a heartbeat for souls, aren't you? Praise the Lord, I got to come out yesterday and go out soul winning with your church. What a blessing that was. Got to lead a lady to Christ yesterday, and that was an outstanding opportunity. And I've heard how many of you guys have been leading to Christ. And listen, that's wonderful. That is what he came for. He came to die so that others can live. But you know what happens is we're content just to let everybody else go out and witness. But if you're a child of the King, listen, you're supposed to be dwelling and living in this specific location, in this secret place. But oftentimes, here's what I asked the Lord. I said, God, why do you call it the secret place? Because I know you desire for us to be there. You say that if we live there, others will see you and not us. But why do you call it the secret place? And here's what he said to me, not audibly, but he said it in my heart. He said, Dan, the reason that I call it the secret place is because not many people come here. And as I thought about that, my heart began to break. Because I thought about the awesome opportunity that we've been given as a child of the Lord. Not only do we get to spend eternity in heaven with our Savior, but we have the opportunity on this earth to share the glorious gospel with the other people. See, the whole purpose that Jesus came to this earth was to take the sins of the whole world. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to go to heaven because you attended church. You're not going to go to heaven because you read a verse of Scripture. You're not going to go to heaven because you said a little prayer. You're not going to go to heaven just because you gave in the offering plate. The only way you're going to go to heaven is believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, realizing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and by faith you call upon the Lord and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of many. There's a lot of false teachers and preachers out there that'll tell you, oh, there's many ways to God. But you're not going to find that in the pages of this Bible. You're going to find the only way for you to go to heaven is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Through His death, His burial, and resurrection. And by the way, His resurrection is just as important as His death. Because when He died, He was paying for the sins of the whole world. When He rose, He conquered death and offers life freely to anyone who will receive it. But as I was going through the pages of that verse, and I began to understand a little more why my granddad made that his life verse, because I understood, well, the change that God had made in his life, hearing his testimony from before, that he really desired not only to just be a child of the King, but to hear the very heartbeat of the Lord and to develop the heartbeat of God. See, you know, I believe that your preacher has a heartbeat for this area, that he has a heart for the community, and Pastor Carter has over these years. But you know what? You're not supposed to develop their heartbeat. You're supposed to develop God's heartbeat.
Right, right.
Because guess what we are? Without Him, we're nothing.
Amen.
But I want to challenge you today, as you look at the Bible, to don't look at it as just some words on a page, but rather look at it as the very heartbeat of God. And let's learn some lessons from these disciples and understand that it's not just good enough just to sit in church.
Right.
It's not good enough just to sing a song every once in a while and open a hymn book and give in the offering plate. It's not good enough until you hear the very breath of God.
Amen.
Till you can feel the very heartbeat of God in your life. We've gotten so content of just how we've always been and what we've always done. And listen, as long as it's backed by this, that's wonderful. But I think some of us say, you know what, God could never use me, and I'm not talented enough. And listen, I'm telling you what, if God can put me as a pastor, God can use you. Because God's just looking for the Isaiahs that say, here am I, use me. God's looking for the people that aren't just wanting to sit around the table. But God began to show me that Peter asked John, because he understood John was in a different place than he was in his life. John heard the very breath of God and the heartbeat of God. Have you ever been around somebody that you could just sense God's presence? You ever been around somebody that you could just tell there was something different? I've been around many men of God in my life, and even ladies. My grandmother's one of the best prayer warriors that I know. And you know what? There's times that I get around those people and I can just feel the presence of God, and I begin to beg God, God, please, I don't want to live another day of my life without living in that secret place. I want to be there. I want to live there. And listen, the problem that we have in our country today, we have so many people looking to be popular. They're looking to have all of the money, to have all of these things, rather than looking at what God says is success in our life. Because if you go through Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, you know what you're going to find in God's eyes is success? Knowing God's word and obeying it. That's what he says. Joshua 1:8, look it up. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein once every month. Oh, that was in the NIV, wasn't it? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate when thou feel like it. That was the New American Standard. But this old King James Bible says thou meditate therein day and night. And that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know what that means? You don't have an option to obey parts of it and not others. Because God's heartbeat for you is to obey this blessed old book. Because this is God's heartbeat for us. It shows us his love to the lost and dying world. You know what? You want to have a successful soul-winning outreach ministry? Go to Psalm 126, 5 and 6. He that sows in tears will reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what that means? You got to get a broken heart for lost souls like Jesus had. Instead of looking at the world as, oh man, look at all the fun that they have and look at all the stuff they have. No, there are people lost and they're going to burn forever in a place called hell. And we need to have a love for those people like God has for them and realize they need Jesus in their life. And it's not just the preacher's job, and it's not just the staff member's job, it's not just the college staff's job, it's every person that calls upon the name of the Lord as their Savior. It's your job to hear the heartbeat of God and to get out there and tell people about Jesus. You can make all the excuses that you want. You can say, well, I'm not good at talking to people. Then quit talking to them on Facebook all the time and actually get your face in the book and get out there and tell somebody how you got saved. Because I'll tell you this, if you got saved, you only got saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're trusting in any works or anything else, you're lost and you need to trust Jesus today. But we need to get a heartbeat for the Lord. And it's one thing to sit there and say, well, you know, I'm just not comfortable with talking to people. No, you just don't love God enough to hear his heartbeat. And you don't have to like me. I'm going back to West Virginia tomorrow. But the reality of it is, our country's dying and going to hell, and it's not the world's fault because the world's always been evil. It's God's people's fault because they won't listen to the very heartbeat of God and just say, listen, I want to love lost souls the way that God loves them. You know what should happen, and I'm not trying to be mean. I understand people have to go to work, but we shouldn't have to wonder who's coming out soul winning and who's not. And by the way, it's not just a Saturday thing. It's a 7 day a week, 365 day a year. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I'm free of the blood of all men. You know why? Because he wasn't afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. What about that person that when you leave here today, most of us try to avoid the gas pump because of the prices of them today. But what about that person across the gas pump from you? And they can say, oh, I got all time in the world. Well, the Bible says life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanisheth away. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Not a person in this room knows that you're going to be alive and breathing tomorrow. And if you die without Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. But see, does that really matter to you? What about your neighbor? Your coworker? Your family member? What does God feel about them? I'll tell you what God feels about them is he was willing to give of his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross for their sin because he loved the world and he wanted to see them in heaven with him forever. That's what he came for, right? But if you develop the heartbeat of God, guess what will happen? This place will be packed out. You know why? Because people are going to be coming. Because you're going to have a broken heart. And the Bible's true in everything that it says. He that sows in tears will... not might, will reap in joy. And he that goeth forth, you understand that means there's have to be a work on your part. And weepeth means a broken heart for people. Bearing precious seed, what is that? This book. Will doubtless, that means that there's no doubt about it. You can take it to the bank. You're going to see people get saved. If you develop the heartbeat of God. But you know what? His heartbeat's not just for the lost to be saved. His heartbeat's for the saved to love him. Amen. What's he say? The greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. When Peter said, when he asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. You know what he said? Don't just say it. Go feed my sheep. Do it. Could you imagine loving God so much? I read a quote. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I want to love God so much that when I say, God, I love you, he says, yes, Charles, I know. And you know what? I love my wife with everything that God's put in my heart to love her with. But you know what? I shouldn't have to just tell her I love her. I want my actions to show her that I love her.
Amen.
And God's telling you, if you're going to love God, if you're going to have His heartbeat, guess what you're going to do? You're going to love Him back. We love Him because He's worthy of it and He loved us, right? And you'll do things for the one that you love. But what saddens me today is we love our social media more than we love our Savior. We love our cell phones more than we love our Bible. Because you know what we've gotten? Like the Church of Laodicea. We're in need of nothing. But guess what? That's a lie. We are in need of something. We're in need of a generation to hear the very heartbeat of God. That you know what they can say is it's worth sticking with the old time way. Why? Because Jeremiah 6:16 hasn't been taken out of Scripture yet. Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein. And here's another promise, and ye shall find rest for your soul.
Amen.
I want you to understand, there's not a new doctrine out. It's still the same.
Amen.
It's still the same. But here's what we say is, well, you know what, I think maybe they forgot some of this new thing somebody just recently said to me. Well, they're finding new things that should have been in Scripture. And I said, oh, really? See, sarcasm is one of my spiritual gifts, just so you understand. And what I said to this person, I said, oh, wait, so that what you're saying now is that man found something that God forgot about. Man just all of a sudden found something that, oh wait, God, oops, I forgot to put that in you, in there for you. But you know what God said? That Scripture that's given for us, His inspired, God-breathed word for you and I, it's given by inspiration of God. That means He spoke it, so He didn't forget about it, did He? Listen, we don't need to go out and look for a new doctrine. He's given it to us in the pages of this book. The very heartbeat of God. In the beginning, God. And then even so come Lord Jesus. Amen. Right? We're working till He comes. That could be today. But let me ask you this. You want to stand before God having your heartbeat? Oh, I'm going to follow my heart. That's one of the dumbest things I ever heard anybody say. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Why do you think God says this? Son, give me thine heart. Because guess what? It's not our heart that's going to steer us in the right direction. It's hearing His heart that's going to steer us in the right direction and then developing His heart. The invitation today is going to be this. First of all, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Trust Jesus as your Savior. But here's what I want to ask Landmark Baptist Church today. Are you just going through the motions and sitting in the room where Jesus is? Or do you want to be like that disciple that could hear the very breath of God? That could listen to the very heartbeat of the one that he served? And let's just please throw away the Pharisaical mindset and attitude that, oh, if I come forward, somebody's going to know. By the way, God already does. And the Holy Spirit says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. By the way, if you look at who he's writing to the church, isn't he?
Amen.
That means he doesn't just knock on lost people's hearts and say, oh, let me in. You know what he says to his people? Quit shutting the door on me and let me in so I can sup with you. So that I can fellowship with you. But you're never going to have true fellowship. And people aren't really going to see the one who's casting the shadow. Unless you learn to walk in the heartbeat of God and live under that shadow of the Almighty. Let me ask you this. Are you dwelling? Are you living there? Listen, this isn't a place God said you ought to frequent every once in a while. He says you ought to dwell there. And listen, God wants you to know where it is. His heartbeat. Do you have it? Do you desire it? If you don't, I would fall on my face at this altar today and say, God, I'm not leaving till I hear your breath, till I feel your heartbeat. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I wouldn't walk out those doors without getting that settled. Because this could be the last time you ever have.
Yes, sir.
You say, are you trying to scare me? No, but reality is this. Every one of us are going to face death. Unless the Lord comes back. And if he comes back and you reject him, you're going to believe a lie. And you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So trust Jesus today. And those of you that have, let's quit listening to all the things the world's trying to tell you. And just listen to the heartbeat of our Savior. Because if you'll do that, revival will take place. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around today. I'm going to ask the pianists and the musicians to go ahead and just start playing lightly, whoever does that. Please, nobody looking around. I really want you to be serious with God today. Child of God, let me ask this question. When's the last time you heard the heartbeat of your Savior? When's the last time you felt his breath? Listen, you can come to this altar right now. You don't have to wait for me to tell you. If God's speaking to your heart, go ahead and step out and come down to this altar today. Just ask the person next to you to move and they'll move out of your way and you come down to this altar and do business with God today. Do you really desire the heartbeat of the Lord? I'll ask us to go ahead and stand to our feet with our head bowed, eyes closed. If you're able to come down to this altar, won't you do it? Listen, don't hide in your pew. Don't be ashamed of God. He's not ashamed of you. He loved you so much that he was willing to die for you and to save you from the charred walls of hell. You know what he says? That if you love me, you're going to serve me. Let me ask this question. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, would you be honest? I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, but I do want to pray for you, and I would like to ask you to step out and come down to this altar and allow somebody to show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. But would you be honest today and slip your hand up and say, Pastor Cole, I do not know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Maybe you say, I've been in church a long time and somebody might think something funny of me. Listen, I don't care what anybody thinks. I wouldn't want to burn forever in that lake of fire for anybody. Anybody at all, you'd slip your hand up, Pastor Cole, well, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Then, dear church, let me ask you this. Have you obeyed God this morning? Are you listening to the heartbeat of God? When you go to the Bible, you go to the pages of this book, are you going genuinely desiring to feel the very breath of God? I'm going to ask our dear brother to sing a verse of invitation here. And while he's singing, there's already folks at the altar. Would you come today?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst
playing. We're dealing with some folks down front. Don't leave here this morning lost. You need to be in the bosom of God. That's where you need to be. You walk out these doors today lost. If you, God forbid, if you was killed in a car accident or died of a heart attack. You're going to open your eyes in hell. That's a sad place to be after hearing a message like that. I know it's hard to get out and walk down in front of these people. I'd do it for you if I could, but I can't. You got to do it yourself. So as the music plays, I'm going to ask Brother Bert to sing another verse. And if you're here lost today, come on down and give your life to Christ. Brother Bert.
Just as I am, though tossed about,